The 8 o'clock hour is upon us on the Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Corey Curtis pinch hitting today for Braden Gall, but Derek Mason here as always. We are talking football, college, and pro, and we are doing one of my favorite things of all time. We are picking games with Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports. Lee, I went to Vegas during the Titans bye week. For the very first time, I did not leave the sports book for about 24 straight hours. It was utterly fantastic, and I've been looking forward to this segment from the moment I took on this show today.
Okay. which sports book were you at?
Well, I was at the Mirage because my buddy was running the half marathon down there, and that's where the finish line was.
The California Pizza Kitchen right there?
Yes, absolutely, okay. Right there. And yeah,
many times.
We also went by Caesar's Palace, where I thought their sports book was really fabulous. Went by the Cosmopolitan and went by the Bellagio. I tried to take the tour as much as I could, but all the wagers were laid at the Mirage. Saturday was good. Sunday was not so good. Your week
we can give you a 4-day perfect weekend. How about that?
You went 5-0 last week. You had a big week.
Yep. We've been on a roll now. How about this? A 16-4 run the last 2 weeks. So if anyone wants to get involved, it's our most popular promotion. It's called the Turkey Shootout.
Okay.
15 games starting tomorrow all the way through Monday. And we've had some 13-2, 12-3 finishes the last 10 years. So if they want to get involved, normally it's $197. Just use coupon code SAVE100, just $97 for the entire 15-game package.
You can win that on one wager. You can just win it right back.
There you go.
So, anything special going on for Thanksgiving, guys?
I'm a Bears fan. Mace is a Lions fan.
Mm-hmm.
So we may
Bears
fight.
And Lions.
We may fight
over the biggest turkey leg.
I am not a turkey leg guy.
The Lions used to win back in the day.
Yeah, you're right.
Against the spread, the last 15 turkey days. So but it's tradition, though, right?
Yeah. Like, it's a huge tradition, especially, you know, being from Detroit. We look forward to, you know, Thursday evening or Thursday night football.
Or Thursday morning in this case. 11:30 start. All right. Well, Lee, the first game I want to ask you about is the one that is paramount in our state this week, and that's Tennessee laying a massive 22 points to Vanderbilt. We were just talking about that. That's a lot of points.
It is, and Tennessee's not a big scorer. But here's the problem. I think they're going to make a change at the coach's position here for Vanderbilt. They have not developed a quarterback. They used to have pretty good defense, and even that doesn't exist anymore. And Tennessee is red hot, and they're playing with house money right now. I think they're going to attack early and often, and if Vanderbilt falls behind by 2 touchdowns, this game is over. So sometimes you got to lay it if you want to play it. I like Tennessee big here. 38-10.
Alabama, Auburn, this is always a big rivalry Iron Bowl. It's going to be not as tantalizing because we don't have Tua playing. Well, we have one Tua playing, but not the Tua that we want to see.
Right.
They are, minus three in this game. Because Auburn's played well. Their defense is wonderful. Is the wrong team favored here? And it's crazy to say because Alabama's playing at home.
I think there's a chance. I mean, this game is at Auburn. And how about this? In the history of the Iron Bowl, whenever Auburn's been favored and they've been ranked, they lose the last 20 years. But when they have been an underdog at home and they're ranked against Alabama, they have never lost. Now, Mac Jones, I mean, no one knows how good he is. I mean, because they played Arkansas and Western Carolina when he started. Both of those two teams, tackling is optional. Auburn's defense, the most they've given up in any game, 23 points. And that was to LSU, who is maybe one of the greatest offenses we've seen in college football the last century. And Georgia, they only scored 21. Now Whitlow's back at running back, and he's by far the best they got, and he's almost 100%. When Ollie fought Liston, you guys know the call. Here it comes. Down goes Saban. Wrong team's favorite. Auburn outright 27-23.
Oh, wow. You heard it. There's the call. NFL, without question, game of the week, Baltimore -4 against San Francisco. I got two things on this game. Number one, if there's a front seven that can slow Lamar Jackson down, you would think it would be San Francisco. But having looked at the numbers, they struggled with both Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson. I think that bodes well for Baltimore. What do you think?
I think so, too. And the key here in handicapping, one of the 12 rules that I never go against is never go against a red-hot quarterback. And right now, Lamar Jackson is scintillating. He is that hot. So they have the best rushing offense. They run plays, you know, they remind you of college. And to prepare for this team, I think it takes almost 2 weeks. They beat the Packers, did San Francisco. And the Packers, both times they came to L.A., were flat. So, yeah, San Francisco's good. They're in the mix in the NFC and the AFC. It looks right now like it's going to be Baltimore in New England unless some injuries take place. But home field, and also looks like Baltimore starting to get that pass rush turned up. I like Baltimore. They pull away late, 34-21.
Now, you look at what New England has been able to do. This offense has been putrid, you hadn't been able to say that about a New England offense in a very long time. They are -3 against a Houston team that's coming off a big victory versus the Indianapolis Colts. I think the wrong team's favorite here, but that's just me.
Okay, well, here's what's going on with Houston. They have never been able to crack the code against New England. And Houston, you would think, you know, they got a former coach on their staff. He would know how to figure them out, but it has not been the case here. And, the problem here for Houston is they got to find a way to get Hopkins and Fuller open. You got to make plays down the field. And unfortunately, that's New England's strength. They just don't allow big plays. They make you go down the field in 12, 15 play drives, not hurt yourself with penalties. And that's what Houston's all about. I mean, top five in the league in penalized yards here. I like New England again. They're going to find a way to win and cover this game here, 27-17.
Titans and Colts, I think the line started at 3. I think it's down to 2 with Indianapolis favored. Colts look awfully beat up, but Lucas Oil Stadium, just a house of horrors for the Titans.
Another team, they can't get anything going here. Indianapolis can't come up with big plays here. Jacoby Brissett, he is what he is. T.Y. Hilton, obviously not 100%. They need him. And, they're without Moore, their star running back. Catching the ball out of the backfield here. So, Tennessee, now you're saying to yourself, what took Mike Vrabel so long to make the switch and go with Tannehill? Now 4-1 straight up and against the spread as a starter. They've actually gone over the total in every single game. I think they keep it going here. Let's go with Tennessee here, 28-20.
All right, 28-20. I was going to ask you what that over-under number is for this game because I'm kind of pointing to the under. I kind of see a low-scoring game because I think the Colts minus Eric Ebron, minus Marlon Mack, and with T.Y. Hilton hurting, I think they're going to struggle to put points on the board.
So what's happened here is this line has been bet down. So it started at like 44, 44, down to 43.5. All you need is a 24-20 score.
Okay.
So both teams, have a tendency sometimes defenses to pick up, maybe an interception for a touchdown, a fumble, special teams play. I still think it's going to be over. I think they're going to go over one more week.
All right, so we're parlaying Titans and the over.
There we go. All right, what you got for us, Lee? You got something special for us?
They want to hop on board, looking for a little jingle in their pocket to, take care of the family, presents coming up, vacations, maybe a new car. No one's been on a roll like us. 16-4 the last 2 weeks. World famous turkey shootout, 15 games, just $97. Paramount Sports, and they want to get our game of the week. How about this game? Under the radar, LSU playing Texas A&M. You want to get that game? Just call 800-400-9741. So two ways to win this Thanksgiving: ParamountSports.com or 800-400-9741. And, guys, I want to wish you and your families and staff and all the listeners out there happy and healthy Thanksgiving.
All right, Lee, happy and healthy Thanksgiving to you as well. Really enjoyed the conversation. By the way, LSU is 16-point favorite over Texas A&M in that game of the week.
And if you guys don't hear from me, if I don't make it to the phone next week, it's because I had two or three pieces of banana cream pie, also blueberry pie, apple, and maybe even a sliver of pecan pie.
I thought it was going to be because you won so much money this weekend, you were just gone. You were just off the reservation.
That too, but what I do is I diet for the week before Thanksgiving. I've only lost 3.5 pounds because I usually put on 5.
All right. Wow. Lee, happy Thanksgiving. Great talking to you. Really enjoyed it.
Okay, guys, take care.
Yep.
All right. He likes the Titans and the over. It's hard to argue with both of those picks from him. You're locked and loaded for this weekend.
Yeah, the one game I am intrigued by is that New England game. He's right. Yeah. They make you drive the ball down the field methodically. Mm-hmm. And systematically. And I think because of the way Deshaun Watson plays, that's the guy that can do it.
Well, but he's also a guy who, as much as I like him, mm-hmm. and you like him because we love him, mm-hmm. he will turn the ball over still.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you said, the Patriots just make you grind. And they force you to not make a mistake.
It's been remarkable to see what they've been doing in spite of time. And I would have never thought this would come out of my mouth, but they've been winning in spite of Tom Brady in their offense. Tom has not played well.
He hasn't been great
this season.
But again, he doesn't have Gronk. He didn't have Nikhil Harry most of the year, and they have not been able to run the football.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it starts. Mm-hmm. They have not had a steady rushing attack. He looked really uncomfortable.
Yeah,
last
he doesn't game. Look like the, he doesn't look he, like the quarterback he did.
He
last
does not
season.
Look happy
yeah.
out there.
No,
I mean,
he doesn't.
He doesn't look like he's enjoying what's in front of him very much. All right. Well, the Tennessee Titans have got the Colts this weekend. We're going to look at that game, and why Lee thinks the Titans will win. But maybe more important, what could hold them back? What has held them back this year? And are the things that held them back early in the season still a thing, or are they not things? We're going to talk about that next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This is The Morning Drive. Peter LaViolette and his Nashville Predators on the air tonight, 7 o'clock, taking on the Vegas Golden Knights. Pre-game starts at 6 o'clock right here on The Game. This is Corey Curtis in with Derek Mason on this fine Wednesday morning. If you miss any of the show, we have moved our on-demand audio to Apple and Spotify. Search Morning Drive in Apple or Spotify or log on to thegamenashville.com to find our daily audio. Rate, review, subscribe today. All right, Tennessee Titans, a 2-point dog in Indianapolis, but Lee Sterling likes the Titans straight up and the over. I think he said 28-20 was in the neighborhood of the score that he had. This is a Titans team that has gone 4-1 in its last 5 games after a 2-4 start. Obviously, they're doing a lot of things better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But is there also fool's gold in this record? Look, they hammered the Jags. We're going to throw that game out of it. This is a Jags team that quit and they rolled over.
Yeah.
They beat the Bucks by the fortune of a blown call on a fake field goal. They beat the Chargers because somehow the Chargers couldn't score from the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
And they somehow managed to hang on to beat the Chiefs after giving up 450 yards and blocked a field goal late. They had some things go their way.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they've been lucky, and I'm not saying they haven't deserved to win. I'm just saying that 3 of those 4 wins could have very easily been losses.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But
they won.
But they won, and it's the NFL.
Yep. And that's the way the NFL is.
Yeah, and you're going to win tough games.
And you're going to lose tough games.
And you're going to lose tough games. I don't think it's necessarily, you know, fool's gold for the Tennessee Titans. I think they are playing much better football with Ryan Tannehill underneath center. I think Arthur Smith has found sort of his place within this organization from a play caller's standpoint. He feels comfortable, I believe, in what he's doing. I think he understands now this is where I want it to be when I took the job, meaning this is the type of offense he envisioned, running a football, play action, finding guys wide open in the pass game.
Not calling 10 screens
a
game.
Exactly. And not throwing the ball, you know, 30, 40 times.
Yes.
That's not – we want to average 25 passes a game, if that.
Yeah.
And we want to run the ball. and they want to be balanced and efficient. And what I mean balanced and efficient, obviously, in their play calling, they want to be efficient in yardage, they, you know, how they go about their offense. But balance, it doesn't mean to me, it doesn't mean 40 runs and 40 passes. Balance to me means when you look at what they're doing per play, it's balanced. Now, obviously, you're going to have more yardage. You're supposed to have more yardage per play passing. That's just the way it's supposed to be. But sometimes we know it's not that way.
You know, one of the
but
things
they've
that
been balanced, it, like they've averaged the pass game. They've averaged 14, almost 14 yards per pass play, I believe. They average over first down. And then running, they average close to a first down every time they ran a football. That's balanced to me.
The other thing that kind of skews the numbers is like Ryan Tannehill rushed for, what, like 40 yards last week?
Mm-hmm.
Those all count in the run game,
mm-hmm.
but they're a product of the passing game.
Exactly.
So, I mean, he rolls out. He can throw it ahead to Corey mm-hmm. Davis, or he can just run it for 20 yards. So it goes as a run. It's in the pass game. It's in the passing game. But I look, what ailed this team to start the season
mm-hmm.
was negative plays.
Exactly.
It was penalties. There were a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It was runs for a loss. There were a lot,
mm-hmm.
still the most in the NFL. And there were sacks, an epic amount of sacks.
In bunches.
And the reason that they had sacks was because they were in third and long,
mm-hmm.
because they were giving up negative plays, and they were committing penalties. And the reason they don't have as many sacks now is because they're running the ball,
mm-hmm.
because they're not in second and third and long. And so this all goes together.
Mm-hmm.
So is it fixed? Are you good at saying offensive line problems are fixed?
No.
Okay.
Because if they ever have to,
if they get behind.
Yeah, if they get behind and a team manages to take them out of their comfort zone, I don't believe that the problems they have in pass blocking are fixed. They might get to a point the season where it's fixed because you got to change some things.
You could turn
but right
back,
now,
you could
I don't
turn
think
back
it's fixed.
To Carolina, and mm-hmm. that would support what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Because he threw two interceptions and got sacked four times in that mm-hmm. game because they were trying to play from behind.
Yeah, and they're not built that way.
No. And no matter who the quarterback is, mm-hmm. they're built to run the football,
mm-hmm.
go play action, and play in the lead. Now, against Kansas City, they were down by, 9-10 points, and they still – felt good enough about continuing to run the football.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they were able to come back and win that football game. Because if they had tried to just drop back and sling it...
They weren't going to beat Kansas City that way.
No. No.
And their defense
and that's not
up
a slight to Ryan
plays.
Tannehill.
Yeah.
But that's just not how they're built. And it's just not how they're built. So do you think, then, that it is more than the offensive line being fixed, I'm mm-hmm. using those air quotes... That is just this team understanding, having a better understanding of who they are and what they need to do.
I think they always understood who they were. It was just them doing the necessary things to show everybody else who they were. I think they always knew they were a run team.
But they weren't running.
But they were not running because whether they were down – or they had players not playing, Taylor Lewan being out for four games. They knew they wanted to be a run team, but they had problems at getting to it because guys were missing.
Do you think they overcompensated for that? Do you think their play calling was too conservative those first four games because Lewan was out and because they were worried about getting Mariota hurt?
Possibly.
Because they called so many screens.
Yeah. There could be some merit to that because, I mean, people always look at the first game and say, well, they scored 40-some points. Well, no, that was deceiving because that game was basically tied at halftime. That
well,
was a close game.
And the Jaguars game is the same
exactly.
way.
And then it had some turnovers and it kind of snowballed.
That's the way most 40-point games are.
But that offense didn't play well the first game of the season. And
they made plays.
They made plays, but not – I don't think they made them the way they wanted to make them as an offense. And then they lose the next two games.
I would agree with that.
You know, they're trying to figure out what they need to do. They go down to Atlanta. Atlanta's a beat-up team. A bad team.
They looked like they wanted to look in Atlanta. Derrick Henry went for 100 yards. They did some stuff play action.
Yep. That's who they are.
Yeah, and that was that was the first glimpse of we said, okay, this is what this team needs to be.
And then they go to the Bills, and they couldn't run the football. And not many people can run the football versus the Bills. They're a tough out. They couldn't run the football. They
missed
couldn't pass
goals.
The football.
Missed four field goals. The offense did enough to win that game. They did.
They moved the ball down the field to put themselves in a position to score.
They missed four field goals, and they had two touchdowns taken off the board by penalties.
Yeah.
Okay? So I look at that Bills game, and that's a game they should have won. They made enough mistakes to not win that game.
Yeah, they did. And then they go and lose to the Broncos in ugly
fashion.
That was the game. They obviously got Marcus benched. And then
we can go into that all we want.
Yeah, after that, they kind of, did some things, Chargers, Buccaneers. And they sort of got back. They got to where they wanted to be, a run play action team.
They got there against Kansas City, and they stayed there last week. Can they stay there on the road at Indianapolis? That's going to be the big question that we all have to have answered.
Patience.
A man with seemingly every right answer in the book is going to join us next. That's the head honcho, El Presidente, Sean Henry, is next on The Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. This is The Morning Drive on ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Corey Curtis with my main man, Derek Mason, on the morning of another big night in Smashville. The Preds have got the Vegas Golden Knights in town, and the guy who just holds up and lives at Bridgestone Arena is the man that they call the President, Sean Henry, joining us. Sean, great to have you. Happy holidays, sir.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, guys. I appreciate you having me on this morning, but that's a pretty big build-up you gave me. The man with all the answers.
All the right answers. We can all have answers, Sean. You got to have the right ones, and you've got them.
Well, I have a lot of teachers in my past that would argue with you on that answer.
All right, well, you brought up Thanksgiving, so we're starting with your favorite and the most overrated Thanksgiving dish.
Well, I love it. It's a combination. You can't separate it. I am a stuffing and turkey guy. The day of, the night of, the morning after, the day after.
Reheated is almost better.
Oh, it is. I only want Thanksgiving for the sandwiches later that night or the next day. I really do.
There you go.
And then the most overrated, my sister is coming, and for some reason she brings turnips every year.
Oh, my gosh. You let her come back?
Well, I got good news for you. That's kind of mean, but she literally cut her hand last night preparing them. Nine stitches, and she can't finish with this, and it's going to be the best Thanksgiving ever.
Wow.
I'm sorry you cut your hand, sister, but goodness gracious, I'm glad we're not having those turnips.
I will never understand cranberries. I don't.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I don't get them.
I mean, cranberry sauce is, I like it.
It's sour.
It all depends on. Now, homemade cranberry sauce is great. I love it. Some people eat it out of the can. I don't know. But I'm going to venture into that world this Thanksgiving. I'm going to make homemade cranberry. I've never made it in my life. I'm going to make it this time.
I'm not invited to your house, am I?
Yeah, you can come over.
No!
You don't think I can do it, huh, Sean?
I believe in you, man. I believe in you. You'll take it on and succeed.
Oh, well, thank you, Sean. I appreciate it. Now, listen, this Thanksgiving, I mean, it's this holiday, as my co-host said, it's his favorite holiday. Brady's not here today. He said it's his favorite holiday of all time. And I understand why, because, I mean, other holidays can get so just stressful. But Thanksgiving is that one holiday that is not as stressful as the other holidays. And we are so thankful for so many things in our lives. For this year, what are you most thankful for? Other than, the Preds. I know you're thankful for them and them on a two-game winning streak. That's great. But what are you thankful for?
Well, you hit it on the head. We just love Thanksgiving. We are going to have 40, 45 people at our house. We have friends coming from Detroit, St. Louis, from Tampa, and then from here. And really, that is what we're thankful for. You know, some of my family's coming in. I've just been a very, very lucky, blessed guy You have four wonderful kids. They're all healthy. They like each other. They like us, I think. And, you know, that's where life sums up, right? When you don't have to worry about your children's health and, you know, we're in a position to enjoy life and maybe give back to a few others. It's special. So, as you said, it's an easy answer saying the Preds. Of course, I love the Preds and our fans. But really, what it comes down to is your friends and family. And I'm very fortunate and very thankful.
I'll say that I'm always thankful that the Preds are here. Because they almost weren't here, and to think what we would have missed.
I mean,
you know, you think about all the different turns that things go in life, and how this turned for this city and the relationship that it turned into. Pretty amazing, and a pretty big change.
It really is.
When we look at Thanksgiving, it's a huge football day, and right now Lamar Jackson is all the talk. Is he the MVP? Is it over?
He is the MVP, and D-Mace knows this at the beginning of the year. Everyone knows I'm a big Cardinal guy, so I'm a real big Jackson guy, and it made me laugh how people were discounting him at the beginning of the year. The guy's a video game. He can do it all. I mean, he's doing it with his arms, his legs, his head. I just love him. So it's fun. And tomorrow at my house, we have a bunch of Detroit guys coming. My wife's a Lions fan, so it's always fun to watch them play as well. And oddly enough, they win on Thanksgiving more often than not, so it's the one day a year my wife's happy.
Yeah, I mean, growing up in Detroit, that was the one day that it was almost an automatic win for the Lions. I can remember many days watching Billy Sims and then Barry Sanders after that, and they would always somehow, some way, no matter how their season was going, they picked up a victory. Exactly, on Thanksgiving.
Behind Eric Hipple.
Oh, Eric Hipple. No, don't go there, man. Yeah. You bring back bad memories, man, bad memories. Okay, it's rivalry weekend in college football. Yeah. We got one here in Tennessee with Vandy and UT, but we have a bunch of them across college football. Beside, you know, Yankees and Red Sox, I know that's one of the, if not the greatest rivalry in sports today, or in the past. What is your favorite sports rivalry?
You know what? As you know, I didn't grow up in college football or basketball at all, but I fell in love with it when I moved to Michigan, and I've been in great states for college sports. But I've always liked, and I don't really like either team, but I've loved Michigan-Ohio State always. Mm-hmm. I love the battle the old coaches used to have, you know, being his assistant, if you will. So that's why I'm always kind of drawn to. Just on a normal basis, I always look back on it. I thought the Rose Bowl, Michigan, the way they all acted about it up there. So it was always more important to beat each other than anything else. And to me, that's what's unique about those rivalries. Sometimes it's more important for the fan bases to beat the other one than win national championship. I just think that's just such a cool definition of what a real fan is.
I love the hate with rivalries, and I'm a Bears fan, so to me the Bears Packers rivalry is my favorite one, because I loathe no team more than the Green Bay Packers. But I agree, the Michigan Ohio State is fantastic in college football.
Like you said, it is about the hate. It's healthy to be able to passionately despise something where you're not hurting anybody.
The rivalry that I really do enjoy playing, I mean, obviously I played in some, but I enjoy watching, is the Celtics and the Lakers. That rivalry will always be, regardless of how bad or good, it's really good when both teams are good. And it's even better when both teams are playing in the NBA Finals. There's nothing better to me than watching those two teams go at it, because you know there's hate behind it.
And what I loved about it, Magic and Bird loved and hated each other. Right? All they wanted to do was beat each other every time. And I love when I hear those guys talk about some of the dream teams that are constructed now. Mm-hmm. And when they talk about it, they say, look, we would never try to play together.
No.
And it's just a cool thing. So you're so right. That might be the best rivalry in sports. As much as I hate to admit that, being a Yankee fan.
Well, you know, along those lines, you know, Dodgers-Giants is a huge rivalry, and they hate each other. Jackie Robinson, the end of his career, was traded to the Giants.
Goodness.
And he refused to go. He retired because he refused to go play for the Giants because he hated them that much. All right. Yeah, speaking,
that really is cool.
Speaking of baseball, Sean, Sean Henry. We made you one person. Derek Jeter is on the Baseball Hall of Fame ballot. Could this be the second consecutive year that we get a unanimous selection?
Well, first of all, what a love child that would be, Derek Jeter and Derek Henry. But no, you know what? I was shocked that Mariano got in unanimously. He deserved it, of course.
A lot of guys have.
Yeah, you have stuffy old reporters that for some reason think it's their badge of honor to, you know, keep guys out, and I don't get it. I love Derek Jeter. I don't think he should be unanimous, but he should get in. But there's going to be some crusty guy that won't vote him in just because Babe Ruth didn't get a unanimous vote, right?
Which is not a reason to do it, but they do it anyway.
However, the good news is the Yankees have an opportunity through the Veterans Committee to get Thurman Munson, Don Mattingly, Derek Jeter, and three captains. And I'll tell you where I'm going this year. We're going to Cooperstown. I promised my son about 10 years ago, his favorite player is Derek Jeter, that when he gets in, we're going to go. I don't know how we're going to go, where we're going to stay, but it'll be fun.
Well, I do think Derek Jeter will be unanimous. Mm-hmm. He was absolutely sensational. And you brought up Thurman Munson. I can't believe he's not already in the Hall of Fame.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's so funny. When you look at some great players, obviously Sandy Koufax was so much better than Thurman Munson, but you know, he only played, what, 9 years, 10 years? Munson is knocked for only playing, what, 11 years or 10 years. But the guy made the All-Star team every year, 300 hitter, one of the best clutch hitters, one of the best postseason players ever, had an arm that no one ran on. And I think he was just overshadowed a little bit by Johnny Bench. When you look at that era, it was Bench, then Munson. So I agree with you. I wish he was in. The saddest day of my life, which means I've had a pretty good life, was when a complete stranger died on August 2nd, 1979. Yep. I cried like a baby on my front lawn, and I'd love to see him get in.
Oh, wow. All right, we got the Gold Friday sale.
Right.
And how important is it that the players, because they're spreading their holiday cheer in the communities this time of year. So how important is it for your organization that the players get involved in things like this, especially during the holiday season?
Yeah, it's wonderful. I mean, our guys, we're really proud of what they do every day. You know, every single player has some type of a program, and above and beyond that, they're always out and about. But I think the holidays are always important for guys with big star profiles, you know, or the Titans and our players, to get out to also remind people that there is a need. And, you know, during the holidays, our hearts swell a little bit, and we give and give and give, but sometimes it's a good reminder to show people that these are great organizations that need our help throughout the year. So I'm always so humbled by what our guys do. And whether you're, you know, a 20-year-old rookie or, you know, a 36-year-old veteran, it is amazing the legacy that David Poile put in place starting 22 years ago. Barry Trotz brought it to life, and Peter LaViolette was it. It's so important, he and his wife and his family, and it's contagious throughout our locker room. So it really is important.
What do fans have to look forward to at the Gold Friday sale?
Well, Gold Friday's fun. I mean, years ago, we started it really to move tickets. And today, we better keep doing it because it's a thank you to our fans. You know, at the team store, I think sales start at 40, 50% off. And they continue throughout the day and gets a little bit less every hour, goes to 30, 25, 20%. Get on out, come to the Louisville game that night. You have a chance to buy $10 tickets that day for that game. And then we have some crazy specials on tickets, whether it be for hockey games or for our concerts, where, you know, they're up to 50% off, you know, limited supply here or there. But it's a fun way to get people into our building for an array of events, from the Louisville basketball game to Trans-Siberian Orchestra to, of course, the hockey game. So it's a fun way to say thank you to our fans, draw a little attention to what we do, and tap into people running to Walmart instead of going to Target. Come on out to the building where you love being.
He is Predators president Sean Henry. Thanks for joining us. Happy holidays. Hey, good luck tonight as well with the Vegas Golden Knights in town.
Well, thank you, guys. Talking about great Thanksgiving. And D-Mace, good luck on those cranberries.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sean. I appreciate it.
That could be the biggest upset of the weekend if D-Mace pulls off good cranberries.
I'm going to pull it off, man. I'm going to do it.
All right.
You got the recipe and everything at home. I'm going to do it.
This is ESPN 102.5 The Game. This is The Morning Drive. Corey Curtis with Derek Mason, and we are just getting started here. Still plenty of show ahead.
The world is- is a crazy place.
Crazy sounding pretty good right now.
Let's lighten the mood.
After all that seriousness, you're just going to crumple it up and throw it in the trash.
And stick to sports. Now on Morning Drive.
All right, as it is every day, stick to sports. It's brought to you by the good folks at Decorated Den Interior. Stick with the pros at Decorated Den. Single men that are moving here to Nashville. You don't have to be single. If your significant other or your wife, y'all got so much stuff going on, y'all just can't get to decorating your home yourself, then go see Bonnie and the good folks at Decorated Den Interiors. You can request a complimentary appointment. That's free here in Nashville. It's free here in Nashville and the surrounding cities. I don't know if it's free anywhere else, but here in Nashville, it's free. You can make an appointment or go online at decoratingden.com.
Number one.
Oh, yeah. By the way, somebody just DM'd us a bourbon cranberry relish and told you to try to make that.
Relish? I don't.
Yeah, so. Yeah,
bourbon cranberry relish.
Yes.
Does that sound good, Corey?
Nope.
Yeah, that doesn't
bourbon
sound good at all.
Bourbon cranberry relish. I'm not going to say it's not good because obviously they have made it. But that might be stepping a little bit too far outside of my comfort zone.
See, you had me at bourbon. I'm like, oh, okay. And then when you said cranberry, I was like, oh, I don't know about that. When you had relish, I was like,
You lost
me. You should stop me. You should have stopped that bourbon, man. You should have stopped that bourbon. So look, I think PETA does a great job with
bacon.
PETA.
You're so wrong, Corey. Corey said it, not me.
I think they do a good job of what they do, you know, sometimes. But sometimes they go a little extreme and a little overboard.
Yeah,
so I'm on Twitter yesterday, and I see this tweet from them talking about the Georgia Bulldog mascot, because there's a picture of him basically sleeping. I mean, it's a bulldog. Bulldogs, you know, they get tired and they sleep.
Yeah.
So the tweet says, "He looks miserable," with all caps. You know, when people write in all caps, it's serious.
Yeah.
That means pay attention to this. "No dog deserves to be packed up, carted to state, and paraded in front of a stadium full of screaming fans. Animals are not mascots. At UGA Athletics must retire the Georgia Bulldogs immediately," with an exclamation point. "He should be at home with a loving family."
Okay, that is a ridiculously stupid statement.
Yeah.
Because that dog is living in a bigger lap of luxury than just about any dog out there. Those people have no idea how well that dog is doted over and spoiled rotten.
That dog lives better than a lot of people.
That dog lives better than me.
His life is plush. They take care of that dog.
Yes.
Like it's the last dog on earth.
Look, bulldogs look miserable.
That's
the look on their face. That's like saying a pug looks sad. Pugs look sad.
That's just them.
Yeah. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, Peter, sometimes you can go overboard, and you just went overboard on that one.
Overthought it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's funny because, like, I was watching this series, I guess, on the bulldog, and it shows, like, he lives in this house, like, this nice house with his family.
Yeah.
He's got his own little whip. He got his own car. He don't even drive. He's a bulldog. Got his own car.
How do his paws reach the pedals?
Exactly. He got his own driver. Like, this dude lives better than me.
Yeah. So, PETA, do your homework in regards to that particular bulldog.
By the way, talking about driving the dog all over the country, last I saw, dogs love the car.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Every dog I see got their head out the window.
faster.
PETA, if you want, look, that dog's probably miserable because they watched Jake Fromm in that offense.
Not because
that dog's being carted around.
That's probably more accurate.
It's carted around watching Jake Fromm struggle on offense against South Carolina.
This guy's a first-round pick? No.
It's tough to say.
No, it's not tough to say. He's not.
Somebody's going to do it.
Really?
Somebody's going to do it.
That guy's getting fired in
somebody's 2 years. Somebody's risking it for the biscuit.
Absolutely.
Number two.
All right, so I got a Thanksgiving take. This is going to be a controversial take because not a lot of people agree with me on this.
Uh-oh.
I think pie is overrated.
Depends which one.
All pie or just a particular pie?
Pumpkin pie?
Pie on Thanksgiving is overrated.
Because if you're talking about sweet potato pie, Yeah, you're crazy. You are
pecan
crazy.
Pie, all pie is sensational.
Pecan pie is really good,
pecan
too.
Pie,
it
all
is
pie
so
on
sweet, though, man.
It's
you can't,
overrated.
I can
you
only
put ice cream
maybe,
on it.
That's making... It's already sweet.
No, but it
Corey.
Smooths it out. It smooths it out. You put vanilla ice cream on there, and it smooths it. Creams it.
It does, but it makes it even sweeter.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So yeah, I'm not a fan of pie mm-hmm. on Thanksgiving. Like I prefer a cake.
Did you have a bad experience with pie?
No, I just don't. I've never been a fan of pie at all.
What kind of
like,
cake?
Like period. Chocolate cake mainly. My grandma makes the best chocolate cake ever, and I already know because she got excited. That's why she kept asking me all like for like the last 3 weeks if I was coming home for Thanksgiving.
Because she
like,
wanted to make that chocolate cake.
Yeah, because she was worried about you know whether or not to make that chocolate cake. And my grandma, she makes it just for me because like she hides the cake afterwards, or when she's done and takes it out of the oven, she'd go whisper. She's like, "Psst, Marquise, that cake's in the."
So she lets you know it's ready.
Yeah, go get it before. Because my grandpa, like I'm talking about, he'll take like half of the cake, take it to his room, go watch Wheel of Fortune, and he'll be gone for like the rest of the night.
Have you had the peach or pineapple upside down cake?
I have.
Because I love that, like after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, upside down pineapple cake is good.
I just prefer like. I know desserts are popular. I know banana pudding's popular. I have never been a fan of banana pudding either.
No, I'm not a fan of banana pudding either.
So,
I'll eat
soggy.
It, but
I just prefer a cake.
Not gonna choose it.
I am a sweet potato pie guy. Love sweet potato pie. I think it's a staple of Thanksgiving. So you are definitely wrong. But here's the thing. You brought up chocolate cake. I think every establishment in Tennessee, or at least in Nashville and the surrounding cities, if you are a restaurant, one of these restaurants in the Gulch or downtown, whatever it is, if you don't have chocolate cake as a dessert on your menu, you are completely wrong. That should be a standard on everybody's menu.
Big facts.
Chocolate cake.
Yeah, if KFC can serve a whole serving of chocolate cake, you can
too. Well, damn it, you can too. So when I go to these establishments, I'm going to tell you, Corey, I went to an establishment last week, and I had to go to two other establishments because I wanted to get chocolate cake.
I had
and
a
I'm
lot of jokes to this, Mace.
I'm not going to call out
you
the
just
establishments,
chocolate cake?
But they didn't have chocolate cake, and that is wrong.
So Deja Vu doesn't have chocolate cake?
I don't go there no more. They moved it. They moved it.
They either moved it or they banned it.
When you said establishment, I didn't know where you were going.
No, restaurants, yes. Restaurants, yes.
Okay.
There are a few that the ones I went to this last weekend, I went to several, and neither one of them had chocolate cake, and I was
that's
upset.
Disappointing.
All D-Mace wanted to do was get a chocolate cake, take it back home, go watch Sex and the City, the movie, and then he would have had a good day.
I sat there, and I told the guys, I watched last weekend, I watched Sex and the City 2, and you know what? I enjoyed it. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
You know
I
what?
Enjoyed it.
All I know about that movie is what my wife told me, and that was about the chocolate pudding.
Yeah, you need to watch it. It's a good movie, man. It's a good movie.
You know what? I'm going to get you a free subscription to the Hallmark Channel.
I love the Hallmark Channel, too.
Oh, my gosh. I'm never doing this show again.
Come on. You got to love the Hallmark Channel.
No, I don't.
Gosh, can we get to a number two or three, whatever
number
we're on?
Number three.
Yeah, let's move on, D-Mess, because you lost me on that one, too. And obviously, Thanksgiving is a big holiday, but there's also Black Friday. Mm-hmm. And have you guys ever participated in Black Friday? Because I never have. I've always worked retail, so I had to work Black Friday. I worked at the worst retail stores to work on Black Friday, the biggest retail stores, so I've always had to work it. But do you ever participate? Because I just never saw a point of lining up 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning to go buy a TV for $200 or whatever. I never saw a point in Black Friday, especially knowing that there's Cyber Monday and that you can order this stuff online. All you got to do is just wait a couple of days. I just never saw the hype surrounding Black Friday.
I don't. I understand some people need it, you know, to get that extra discount. Hell, I can use that extra discount as well, you know. And the more money I save, the better, regardless of whatever my situation is. But I did one time, and I think it was Best Buy, because I'm a gadget freak. So I did the whole Black Friday for Best Buy. I mean, yeah, for Best Buy. And it wasn't as bad, but, man, watching the news and some of those Black Fridays, man, it gets physical. It gets physical. So, you know what? I started doing what you said, Cyber Monday, just going waiting.
Cyber Monday is the best way to go.
Just waiting and ordering all of my stuff. Because the last thing I want to do is get in a shouting match with someone because I'm
over Tickle Me Elmo.
Yeah, TV or Tickle Me Elmo or Apple Watch or something. Man, here, you can have it. I don't want it that bad.
If you thought people would fight over Popeye's chicken sandwiches, you ain't seen nothing until you saw Black Friday at like Target or Walmart, where these people fighting over a PlayStation 4. And I understand, like, you know, because I was in a situation like my mom had to do that stuff for me when I was growing up for Christmas. And, you know, obviously, and I got most of my Christmas presents from Black Friday. So I'm not, but I never saw the hype in it. I understand the discounted prices and it makes things cheaper. That's when, if you didn't have a plasma TV after like the fourth, fifth Black Friday, then you're just never getting a flat screen TV. Yeah. But I just never saw the hype of just, I'm going to wake up early to go fight over a doll or whatever when I can just order it online. There's easier ways to do
things. When did they start doing Cyber Monday? Because it hadn't been really that long, has it?
Probably a decade.
Yeah, so Black Friday, before it was Cyber Monday, man, you had to go to get, you know, whatever you were going to get on a Friday. You had to be out there to get that discount. But now you don't. Go on your computer.
I have no doubt that I will not be participating.
I feel you.
I don't blame you, Corey. I won't either.
All right, that's Stick to Sports. We've got another hour of sports talk ahead. This is The Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.